I wonder if some of you are asking, hey, didn't we just finish Ephesians? What are we doing, going backwards? Oh no, the sermon series, it'll never end. Actually, I was given a charge, request by the MLT, our leadership team, to preach on the work that we've been doing for over a year now. My hat's off to our MLT. They have sacrificed a lot of extra hours. We usually gather once a month for a couple of hours, you know, to meet. And over this last year, there were many Saturdays they sacrificed from 8 a.m. to noon to be here to be working on our strategic planning. And so about every month, we were putting in 4 hours, sometimes two or three. They put in a lot of overtime. And what we were about is establishing a strategic vision for our church and boiled it down to a mission statement and a vision statement. And, you know, what's with that? You know, why? Well, kind of like a farmer, you don't just go out and throw a bunch of seeds and start harvesting and think it's that easy. You first have to prepare the soil. And especially having just, you know, been called here a year and a half ago, not even, when a new pastor comes in, obviously some dynamics start to change. And so we really work together, but I didn't want to come in as a pastor and start saying, hey, God has called us and God has called me and I've seen a vision. Far from it, you know. And so a lot of the meetings were really a lot of, especially for me, hearing about Elam Covenant Church, you know, from a deep perspective, the heart, the spirit, the people, the resources, you know, what we have here. What we try to do was develop a strategic strategy that was really rooted in our identity, who we are, who we've been, and as we continue, also then a vision for where we are going. So, you know, when you talk about a mission statement, it really is about, you know, why we exist. Why does this church exist? You can see right there in your sermon notes what we came up with for a mission statement was Elam Covenant Church exists, and you can even flip it back and forth. Elam Covenant Church exists to develop a thriving community where faith and love intersect. Or just, hey, where faith and love intersect to develop a thriving community. We wrestled on the order of things and finally fell on this one, and we were unanimous about it. That just flowed a lot better and seemed to make more sense. And then the proposed vision statement is, and this kind of a vision statement is, okay, this is your identity. What's God's purpose for you? What's God's call for you? And we determine that our call is to develop Christian leaders who impact the world for Christ. And as Natalie read that text from Ephesians, that text is foundational for church identity and purpose. And in the sermon a little bit later, I'll kind of go through, start picking out and pulling out of that and pointing out, okay, look, it's right there. I mean, this is so biblical. And so what we've come up with is a mission statement, vision statement, and I'm going to be talking about some supporting also statements that we've got. It's very biblical. And what we're doing, the process then is, by the way, so the MLT has talked about this, wrestled with it, and this is what we've came up with. This is what we're proposing. They asked me to preach about it, you know, the biblical nature and everything, and as a way of introducing it to the congregation. There might be some other ways that we need to talk about it and dialogue as a congregation, but we want you to vote on it at our next congregational meeting. Should this be the mission statement, vision statement for Elam Covenant Church and our strategic vision for our church, all right? So, again, true to our DNA, yes, you know, we are, and I would say, doing some great ministry here, absolutely, but I really, really believe, as we talked and as I look out into even the congregation this morning, I just feel like we're only scratching the surface of our potential, the human potential mixed with God's potential. I just think that there is so much more that we can be doing, and God has endowed us with all these gifts and with a strategic vision for our church. What we're hoping to do is have a catalyst that just sparks into flame what could be personal revival, corporate revival. We'll see how far that revival could go. This could get really cool. All right, so let's just dig in. Start with the mission statement. I want to break it down. Our mission, why we exist. And so you see faith and love are prominently in there. Okay. Now, Galatians 5:6, I consider is one of the foundational verses in Scripture. It's actually the last part of Galatians 5:6. 11 words that basically sum it all up. And that's what Paul's doing. He summed it all up. He says, the only thing that counts, hey, this is it. The only thing that counts, it's faith expressing itself through love. That's it. I mean, that could be just easily a mission statement for a person as well as for a church. Where faith and love intersect, faith expressing itself through love. Now, one without the other can lead to some really bad places, all right? So faith without love, Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians 13. Remember the love chapter? And he just says, hey, you can have the faith to move a mountain, but without love, you're just a clanging gong. You're nothing, he says. Faith without love, that can literally develop into a legalism, kind of a pharisaical. We become like Pharisees. There's just kind of a coldness to it, right? All right? And yet love, if not really anchored down by faith and mixed with faith, love where there is no faith, love can become just kind of liberal, kind of whatever, God loves you, kind of a, you know, a whimsical thing, or maybe even just simply philanthropy. Philanthropy is, you know, especially like wealthy people that give money to good causes, that's great. But if it's not tied in with faith, there isn't the magic. I was doing some home plumbing the other day. And so, you know, clearing a drain. You ever done this? And so a home remedy is baking soda with vinegar, all right? And it struck me, too, and as I was thinking about the sermon, that baking soda is kind of neutral. You just pour it in the water or the drain. You know, not much happens. Vinegar by itself, kind of neutral. Nothing much is going to happen. You put the two together, and all of a sudden it just froths up, and it's kind of cool, you know? Anyway, and I'm not a scientist. I'm sure there's probably other illustrations I could use for some sort of a dynamic reaction when two substances come together. When faith, true faith and true love come together, there can be a reaction that is powerful and dynamic, and that's what we need to be about. So faith intersecting with love to develop a thriving community. Thriving, I preached on that, a whole series just earlier this year. And so hopefully, you know, that one sparks something. We just sang about it this morning, and I asked Greg, hey, sing Thriving, you know? And that really gets at a life that truly is, as we walk with Christ and as the Holy Spirit starts to just have way more sway and control over our lives, and our faith is becoming more robust, you know, and deeper and more profound, the blessings of God then start to multiply in our lives. And I'm not talking health and wealth gospel here. What I'm talking about is my marriage starts to really just come in line with God's will, and wonderful things happen. Wonderful things happen in our home. I mean, if the Spirit really takes over and takes control of our hearts, the fruit of the Spirit starts to just, like that vinegar and baking soda frothing, and all of a sudden this dynamic reaction. If the fruit of the Spirit starts happening in our home, all of a sudden it is this overabundance of love and of joy and of peace, patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And I've said, wouldn't that be an awesome home to live in? As a kid, wouldn't that be an awesome home to grow up in? Faith, love, joy, peace, abounding. That's when our lives start to really thrive. So we develop a thriving community. And just as I was talking to the kids about the importance of community and that coming together, evil moves to isolate us. Because if the devil can isolate us, oh, we're an easy target. But if we come together and we have this thriving community of faith, and where, you know, when you come in and some days, man, I mean, life just has hit you across the head with a 2x4, but you can come into that community of faith, and there's prayer, but I mean prayer, and there is hope, and there is support, and there's counseling. All of a sudden, you're just buoyed up. It's a thriving community. We come together in it. It's a rich fellowship. And so, you know, this kind of truth, faith, true love, sparking a revival fire and possibly even that revival fire blazing. You know, this is why we exist. This is our mission proposed. All right, vision, the vision statement, our proposed vision for our church is to develop Christian leaders who impact the world for Christ. I want to break that down. First thing, I know that term leadership probably all of a sudden, you know, set some people back. I'm not a leader. I'm not leadership material. I'm really an introvert. That just kind of freaks me out. Actually, this class that I've been teaching on Wednesdays and repeating it on Sundays, it's called Influence, Developing an Impactful Life. Well, the truth is, it's all a class. It's the whole class is about leadership. But I knew that if I had given it that title, that half the people that are attending probably would have just, by default, said, nah, I ain't going. I'm not leadership quality material. But we are all called to be an influence or influencers for Christ in our world. Aren't we called to be salt and light? You ask any leadership guru out there, and they will say leadership is influence. John MacArthur started his book, chapter one of his books anyway, Leadership is Influence. And he just said, that's it, period. There's no more. Leadership is influence. So as we are become more salt and light, we are all part of the Great Commission to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything Christ has commanded us. That's influence. We are called to go out and make an influential impact in our world for Christ, bring others to Christ. And if you're a high-level introvert, then you are still called to preach the gospel all the time, every day, every opportunity you get to preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Get it? By the way you live your life. But again, if your faith is developing into this robust, profound faith, if the Holy Spirit doesn't just have access to your heart, has control over your heart and your life, and so that you live by the Spirit, you walk with the Spirit, and that Spirit is coming alive and all of a sudden producing the fruit, faith, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and all of a sudden you start to radiate Christ's love. You start to radiate Christ's joy. So Dewey was kind of teasing a little bit about that whole thing about smiling, and I did. I challenged him last week. Everyone you encounter, try and smile. But it's joy. It's an expression of joy. If we've got joy bubbling up inside of us, I mean an unstoppable joy, isn't it going to show up on our face as a smile? But if this is happening, all of a sudden we become powerful influencers. The way Paul puts it is that we become the fragrance or aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are unsaved. So there's just something about you. And it's this hope. It's this, you're always joyful. I mean, even in the tough times and even when all hell is breaking loose, it's like you got this, you're grounded with peace. And you're one of the most loving persons I've ever met. Hey, even the biggest introvert can develop this and be a powerful, powerful influencer. So it's developing leaders, people of powerful influence because of the faith, because of the Spirit inside of them, impacting the world for Christ. Oh, no, no, no. This is not just some paltry little small vision and let's see what we can do here and, you know, but within our four walls and no, not even spreading out, just, oh, in our community. No. I mean, what would happen if our impact, our influence could radiate out even into the world? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This could be seriously cool. All right. First, let me ask Orlin, if you guys could throw up a couple of the slides up there. So I drew a few diagrams. All right. No, not that one. I need to skip over then. Next one. All right. This is what it would be about, okay? So as we develop leaders to impact the world for Christ, you can see in the little green square, it says leadership base. That's what we got, okay? That's who we've got, and you know, as far as the leaders we've got and our leadership. And so we've got, built upon that leadership base, Elim Covenant Church 2015, I just threw out this number. It seems, I think, fairly accurate. 170 active between members and non-members, but actively involved in our church. And honestly, this is all we can handle. This is all we can handle. I mean, our leaders are already stretched. They really are. If somebody wants to come and say, hey, we really ought to do this program. There's an outreach thing. Oh, there's this children's program that would be so cool if we could just, you know, inject that into our children's program and everything. And I'll just shrug my shoulders and go, we do not have the extra leaders. And the leaders we got would just be overtaxed, overloaded, and you'll burn them out. No. Well, then what do we do? Where do we go with this? Well, here's the strategy. What we want to do is develop our leadership base so that it will both expand, not just in breadth, but depth, okay? Because it's not like we're going to go around and just, oh, Kevin, you know, we'll just name you a deacon, okay? And you can be deacon of the children's ministry. No. You know, I mean, what we need to do is train up leaders, all right? What happens if in 5 years, that light blue, we have that kind of progress? Well, what kind of structure would that support? What if 20 years from now, we've developed such a wonderful leadership training program, developing influencers, people with a robust, profound faith, and really, I mean, walking with the Lord. What if 20 years later, I mean, we have developed such profound leadership? What kind of church growth could we have? Well, here's the point that we want to make as the MLT. Let's not even focus on new programs, trying growth. Upwards, let's go down to the roots. And let's profound and broaden and deepen our leadership base. Well, what does that look like? You know, and we're like, come on, yeah, that kind of growth. Yeah, you know, that's fantastical. Well, over the last year, I've had some wonderful conversation with a pastor, one of the founding pastors of a church in Northwest Arkansas, Fellowship Bible Church in Northwest Arkansas. They started, and this became their vision, was to really focus on leadership development, all right? And they've been in existence about 30 years. They started, I think he said, with about 7 families. Nowadays, on weekends, every weekend, there's about 14,000 people that worship on their campus every weekend. They've seen fantastical growth. Oh, my gosh. And please, don't. I'm not talking about, oh, we're going to grow to be a mega church. In fact, I love this guy's humility. He just says, you know, he goes, I'm not even that enamored with mega churches. He goes, we happen to be one, but it wasn't even our intention. They developed a 5-year leadership training program for their church. What developed off of that? An amazing dynamic revival movement that not just numbers, and not just numbers there on their campus, they also trained up 450 missionaries and sent them out around the world. Oh, they've made a deep impact, and it's impacted. Their impact has radiated out to the world. They've also sent other church planters and other ministers out to do other ministry. In other words, train up leaders. And I love they're very unselfish about it. They say train and release, train them up. And then what's your call? Well, we'll support you. That's great. Wonderful call. So, I mean, it really can be dynamic. So, you know, next year, are we going to have a 5-year training curriculum program? Probably not. In fact, all we're starting with, and we've already started, is my little leadership course, influence course, on Wednesday and Sunday nights. But what if we could continue to grow and build to where what we're doing is really developing leadership? And this is not something that we do off to the side. It's something that would undergird everything we do. And then it starts to get into the very practical questions of, so not just any future ministry ideas we have, but current ministry. How is it feeding into the mission and vision for a program? Because we can either have this discordant movement or synergistic movement. You want to throw that other screen slide up there? Discordant movement looks like this, all right? It's, you know, see the one arrow just going backwards? Well, the way we used to do it 30 years ago, and boy, if we could revive some of those programs from back then, well, that's really what we need to do to get things done. You know, some are going off to the side. Well, you know, some church in Southern California, they got this program. That's really what we got to do, and it's just $99.95, you know? And we've got to be doing more outreach. And it's just everybody just kind of going different ways. That's discordant. You can hear the word discord. So if you've ever been, you know, to an orchestra and they're tuning up, and this guy's playing a whole nother tune, and this guy, you know, and it's just a cacophony is what they call it, of sound. It just, ah. Versus, all right, next one is a synergistic movement. And that large arrow, I mean, this is how we move towards God's purpose with a synergistic power. If all of a sudden we're all within those boundaries of the mission and vision of our church, this is the way we are going to fulfill God's purposes for us, and we're moving all in the same direction. In fact, there's overlap, you know, coming, and we're working together, and the three cords, or, you know, a strand of three cords is coming together. This looks like a lot more powerful movement, doesn't it? The synergistic movement than the discordant movement. That's what we're trying to do by establishing this mission and vision, all right? Now, let me see if I, what else I need to say about this. All right, so if that makes sense, great. Now let's go back to that first slide, because there's some supporting statements that we came up with. And the Elam Cross, this is something that, don't know what a kind of an artist I am. In fact, it probably needs to be tweaked a lot. But just these thoughts, and I think in pictures, but this is the picture that came into mind. But this really describes not just our identity, but our purpose, or it helps us to see how we flesh that out. So you've got this cross here, all right? And the first one is, we are called to lift high God's glory. And it is our calling. In fact, in the Westminster Small Catechism, which is basically the very old discipleship manual, from hundreds of years back. And when the answer to this question, what is the chief end of mankind? What is our purpose, our chief primary purpose? And the answer is, our primary end is to glorify God. To glorify God, lift Him up, lifting up God's glory. Oh, and I love it. And to enjoy Him forever. Delight yourselves in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We are called to delight ourselves in the Lord and to glorify Him. And I believe that, yes, we are intentional in lifting up God and His glory. I mean, that's what we were doing in worship and what we do. And I love the way we worship, honestly, with honoring both traditional, with hymns and contemporary, but doing it. And I love that everybody's up here worshiping, doing the worship leading, choir too. It's doing it for the right purpose. Lifting up God's glory. It's not about performance. It's not about me at all. And that's what we pray about every time we pray about it, okay? And so, you know, but do we do that perfectly? No. But also, that's something that gives us that focus. This is our goal, and not just in corporate worship, but individual worship. My next sermon series, as a matter of fact, is going to be addressing this and how we can worship. And, I mean, individually and corporately, more powerfully. All right. But the next arm, branch, and you can see lifting high God's glory, it's going up towards God, digging deep in God's Word. It's God's Word that comes down to us, but then our outreaches are building up God's people and reaching out with God's love. And then you can see the faith and hope are there, that faith and love intersecting. All right. And so building up God's people, and that is definitely a call that we are supposed to be all about. In fact, going back to that scripture text that Natalie read, Ephesians 11, 4, 11 to 16. So listen to this into the context. And even as you'll see, all the aspects are here, and that faith and love coming together and building up and maturing. And it says, so Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. That's your core leadership, right? So it's leadership, all right? But is it leadership and they're going to do all the ministry and everybody else just kind of, you know? No. Leadership, their purpose is to equip His people for works of service, to equip you all to do the ministry. So again, we need to be in the business of equipping the body to do ministry, to be leaders, right? Developing leaders, there it is. It's right there in this text. So that the body of Christ may be built up, all right? So that there's growth. But it's a healthy growth, and it's a growth internally first. It's not just a numbers game. Although you read through Acts, numbers are important. Numbers are important because there's so many unsaved people, and we need to be out there ministering to them. And so, yes, through evangelism, yes, we need to be bringing people to Christ. Numbers do matter. But first, growth here, capacity, I'm getting Spanish in there now, capacitando. And so to, what is that in English? Training, and training them up, all right, to equip the people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until, and I love this, this is the goal, until we all reach unity in the faith, there's faith, unity in the faith, a unity of faith, but a robust faith, and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, all right? So developing a profound maturity in our walk with God, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, that is cool. That is a high standard. Attaining to the full measure of the fullness of Christ, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Yeah, and a mission and a vision and a strategic plan. Let's raise the bar high. And then he keeps going. Then we will no longer be infants. And honestly, yeah, I mean, some of us, I mean, we're just still babes in Christ. We will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in these deceitful scheming. And I mentioned it last week, but oh my goodness. I even mentioned the statistics in the latest Barna survey. I mean, 1,400 ministers are leaving the ministry every month. And the actual number of people that are just leaving the church for secularism and nominalism, it was something like 2.7 million in America every year. I mean, they're not just being tossed back and forth by the waves and this deceitful scheming. They are jumping out of the boat altogether. So that it wouldn't happen to us. Therefore, instead, as we speak the truth in love, love shows up two times in the next two verses, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament, that means all of us working together, you know, working together to create that synergistic movement, by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love. We are built up in love. There's that. There's where love and faith come together. As each part does its work, it's right there in the text. All of this is described. So as we build up God's people, yes, we are doing that. And I love how through God's word, it is greatly held high in honor and esteem in this church. I mean, you called me as your pastor. And I mean, if you haven't seen by now my love for the word of God, then... where you been? But I see it too in so many of the people that are teaching Sunday school and teaching the kids ministries and the youth ministry. Greg does a great job, and you know Julie's Bible study and the teenagers Bible study. Pat does a great job, and in the Sunday school classes, you know, we really do dig in deep in God's word, but we can always do more. So then it's reaching out with God's love as that other arrow goes out. And Elam Covenant Church does a wonderful job at this, especially in the area of missions and outreach and the different outreaches that we support. Christian friendliness and Christian cares and youth hope and love hope and all these different ministries that we have connected with and are ministering to. And of course, on the mission field, Juanita's trips to Colombia, and we've got another trip in less than 2 weeks leaving for Monterrey, Mexico, a small group of us. And next year, I'm proposing we even try and send a team to Costa Rica, and we've sent a small group to Africa. And so, yes, we do a great job of that kind of reaching out with God's love. Here's where I think we could do a whole lot better. It's in the area of evangelism. And so reaching out with Christ's love, even right across the street to our neighbor whose marriage and family is falling apart, especially, or you know whatever's happening with your coworkers. But a lot of people freeze up. I don't know what to say. So we need to equip the saints to do the ministry, teaching you how to share your story. That's what a testimony. This is why I believe in Jesus and what he's done for me. Simple as that. And then also apologetics. What does that mean? Apologetics is literally how to defend your faith. And especially where there's some hot debates going on. I mean, do you know what the Christian basis is and then the Christian teaching is on some of these hot button topics that are going on out there, whether it's abortion or homosexual marriage or there's tons of stuff going on. All right, so really learning how to speak and share and do evangelism. All right, and then, I think I got to the end, didn't I? There's something I didn't cover. All right, so this is what we are proposing. It is a mission where Our whole identity is faith and love intersecting to develop a thriving community. And our call, our purpose as a church is to develop Christian leaders who impact the world for Christ. What we are going to do is we are going to lift up God's glory high. We're going to build up God's people as we also reach out with God's love, and we are going to dig deep in God's word, and everything is tied together like a garland with faith and love, a dynamic catalyst that will propel us to a future that only God knows, but I truly believe it would be a future of growth internally, personally, as a family, as a church, growing our faith, growing the influence of the Spirit of God into us so that we may be great influencers, making a deep, profound impact in our world for Christ. That is our hope. That is our proposed strategy. Please, by all means, we want to hear back from you if you've got questions or if you've got concerns, but we want this to be something we can all rally around and have unanimity with this strategic plan. So let's keep praying about this too, because if this is from God, I really think God's going to be doing some amazing, very cool things in this church, with this church, through this church, and for this church. May it be so. Amen.